Welcome to the Gospel Rain podcast, part of the teaching ministry of Dr. Matt Brown and Dr. Micah Carter. We hope you will find gospel-centered answers to your questions about theology and the Christian life. And now, we welcome you to the Gospel Rain conversation.
Welcome back to the Gospel Rain podcast. Matt, it's been, well, more than a month
since we
podcasted. Yeah. And intentionally so, you and I decided around Thanksgiving and moving into the Christmas season, we take a little break and spend time on end-of-year festivities with our churches and with our families, and so we did that. And it bled over a little longer into January than we wanted, but turns out the first part of the year is busy, too.
It is. And well, you've been on vacation.
And I have. Snow skiing in Colorado, and it's weird to say you're coming out of Christmas holidays to go right into vacation, but our family loves a snow ski, and it just, man, we jumped on it.
Good time to do it.
Yeah. But it's good to be back in the studio, good to be back with you, Matt, and I know you had a great time with family over the holidays, and to our listeners, I hope you did as well. And so we just thought among ourselves as we were planning, kind of moving into 2018 for the podcast, we wanted to start this year with a pastor-focused podcast and kind of accomplish a couple of things with our time on this episode. And that is to say, we want to talk a little bit about preaching and your vision and moving into preaching for 2018 and what I'm going to be doing, and just talk about how we came to the idea of what we're preaching and how we plan that and what our ideas are, and just kind of talk around those things. I think it'd be fun. And then the latter half of the episode, if we could, maybe talk about some conferences, professional development, some other things that pastors can participate in and look forward to in 2018 by way of conferences that could encourage them in their preaching and pastoral ministry. And so we've got a few ideas on that, and we want to throw that out there. But Matt, let's just jump in, man, and let's talk about preaching. Let's talk about what you're looking at your church as a pastor, kind of the plan, maybe short-term, maybe long-term. What do you got coming in 2018?
Well, it's good. This is a helpful thing I hope will be for some pastors. We do this, what, occasionally, once in a while, you know, for pastors, try to encourage because that's where our heart is. But in 2018, I started the first of the year preaching a series on Sunday mornings in the book of James. It's been a long time since I've studied through or preached through the book of James, at least 10 years. And so I'm back in the book now, and I'll be in the book of James for about the next probably 8 weeks, something like that. I think I've already spent 3 weeks there. You know, but a great book, and one of the reasons that I went to that book, it sort of led me there. 2017, just I guess it's this way every year, but a lot of things swirling around in 2017 in our culture, and a lot of people asking the question, man, what do we do now? There's all kinds of things going on.
Right.
And so that's sort of the question that I pose toward the book of James is that people may have asked the question in the first century, what do we do now in times of trial and persecution and those kind of things for Christians? Mm-hmm. James wrote that letter to those who had been scattered because of persecution, and so they maybe have asked the question, what do we do now? The question's a good question now in the 21st century, what do we do now? And so I think the principles that James applies to them in the first century still apply to us now in the 21st century. So I'm preaching through just a series of sermons in the book of James, which have been really, really good, really been helpful. As a matter of fact, just yesterday I started preaching on James's response to what do you do now and how do you receive the word. You know, he says receive the word that's been implanted in your souls with humility and with purity. And so anyway, so we've been talking about that, and I'm excited to go through the book of James with my folks on Sunday morning. Sunday nights is really a fun thing for us at our church, sort of informal. I teach on Sunday nights just from the floor, and it's just a little bit more laid back on Sunday nights. But I'm teaching right now just a short series on the biblical covenants, which has been a lot of fun. We may do a podcast or two on the biblical covenants, like, which would be fun to get to. But really been teaching about that. Dr. Tom Schreiner wrote a small book on covenants, which was it's a newer book in a – it's the third in a series, and I can't remember the name of the series of the books, but they're all on some different theological topic, and he wrote a small book on covenants, which has been really, really helpful. It's a good book. So I'm teaching my way through that and just sort of helping us see from Adam all the way to Jesus, the covenants that God gave or made with his people to fulfill his promises, and how he made promises and how he kept those promises in Jesus. So it's been really a lot of fun. And I'm about to, and once I get done with that, I'm going to start a series in the book of Proverbs on Sunday night, which I don't know that I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
I've preached through some Proverbs occasionally, but never done a series through the book of Proverbs. And we won't go verse by verse, but it'll be a lot of fun on Sunday nights to do that and teach my way through some of those. And so I'm looking forward to that. And on Wednesday nights, I do an informal type Bible study with the adults on Wednesday nights. And right now we're in an apologetics series.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Alex McFarland and Elmer Towns wrote a small book called 10 Questions Every Christian Should Answer.
Mm.
And I've taken that book and sort of used that as a sort of a platform or a diving board to sort of lead into some apologetics conversations with our folks on Wednesday nights. And I'm teaching through some apologetics issues, which has been really a cool thing, too. So I'm a teacher. I'm a pastor, but I'm a teacher too, and so I love doing things like that, and that I think will be pretty helpful, hopefully,
for our
folks. And then we'll move on to some different things after that. But anyway, it's a lot of fun. And I also teach a Sunday school class too. I teach a college age Sunday school class. Love my Sunday school class, and love those ladies and guys, and love to have the opportunity to be able to teach them and hang out with our college students a little bit. So anyway, a lot of fun.
I think it's neat. I've often heard people refer to James as the Proverbs of the New Testament.
Yeah.
And that you're focusing on that. It's definitely practical Christianity.
It
hits a lot of stuff right square between the eyes.
Right. Where the rubber meets the road with a lot of people and real practical things. And so that's been a lot of fun. You know, I was in doing some study. I just thought it was interesting. You said something about that. You know, it was Martin Luther who said that James was, he thought, an epistle of straw. Where he just totally rejected
it
and said it didn't belong there. It didn't belong in the Bible.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have the theological emphasis like Martin Luther looked for in justification. And
right.
Doesn't have that in the book of James. Doesn't mean it's not theological. It is.
Yeah.
But that's one of those things where practice flows out of theology, and that's sort of where he gets to his real practice of good theology.
Well, it's interesting, you know. James says you're not saved by faith alone; you're saved by works.
Mm-hmm.
And Luther looks at that and says, "Man, that's heresy. You're saved by faith alone." Romans tells us that.
Yeah.
Galatians tells
us
that. You know, and I don't know where I heard this or read it, or maybe I made it up. I don't know, but when I look at Paul and James and faith and works kind of discussion, they're really not fighting each other on this issue. It's more to me that if you had Paul and James together, they're standing back to back addressing different opponents.
That's a good way to look at it.
And Paul is looking at people that are dependent upon the law for their justification and saying they're saying we're saved by what we do.
Mm.
And Paul says, you're crazy. You're saved by grace through faith. And James is looking at people who say, hey, I'm saved by faith, and it doesn't matter how I live my life. And he's saying, if you don't show me the fruit of justification, your faith is basically dead.
That's right.
Making no sense. So it seems like an easy solution to me. I don't know why someone as important as Martin Luther gets all
hot and bothered
about that.
Well, and somebody wrote a small commentary called A Faith That Works.
Yeah.
And that's what James is all about. It's real faith, but it's a faith that does something.
It acts. It works.
And that's what his emphasis is in the book, which is really, really helpful. And it's fun to preach through. So I'm having a good time. And it's one of those books that really, it's practical enough that every section is really stepping on your toes about a lot of things. Controlling your tongue. We talked about that yesterday morning about controlling your anger. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Well, that's tough, man. It's tough for us. So it's real practical. Anyway, it's been a lot of fun through the book of James. What are you preaching through right now?
Yeah, on Sunday mornings, I am finishing up a series on the doctrine of the church.
You've been in that series for a while, haven't
you? I have. I just preached my 12th message in that series. And so I started back, you know, in the fall last year, and I've covered everything from church, the nature of the church to the government of the church, and now we're in the ministry of the church, so the worship and work and witness of the church. And so I'm finishing that up in the next couple of weeks. And it's been fruitful, man. It really has created a lot of conversation among our folks talking about church life and what we're about. And even in my deacons' meetings, we've had a lot of great conversation around some of the things that I've been preaching through. So that's been fun. Now, after this series concludes, what I think I'm going to do in the next few weeks is kind of a short emphasis on evangelism, something like sharing your faith without freaking out or something like that, but just real practical, intentional, personal evangelism. I want to talk about for a few weeks. And so maybe the message and the method and stuff like that. And then after that, I had the privilege of writing some Sunday school material for Lifeway in the Explore the Bible line of curriculum. And it was on 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And so that in March, April, May, the churches that use that curriculum will be studying 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And so I'm asking my adult Sunday school teachers to teach the curriculum that I wrote. And then Sunday mornings, I'm going to preach 1st and 2nd Corinthians over those 3 months, kind of thematically all together. I don't know how it's going to go, man.
Well,
I'm
excited
about it.
Great idea, though. Yeah.
I'm just interested in really immersing ourselves in those books. And, you know, the letters to Corinth that Paul wrote are just filled with all kinds of really nitty-gritty, you know, pastoral counsel to things that are happening in real life. And so I'm looking forward to that.
Is this the first time you've ever written the curriculum?
It is. For Lifeway? Yeah. And, man, it was a lot of work, I'm going to be honest with you.
I remember when you were working through it. It was pretty daunting, I know.
Yeah. And, you know, I hope the editors at Lifeway are gracious and kind to me, you know, and maybe improve everything I've done. But I think it's going to be good. And so,
I'm excited about it because that's the curriculum that I use for my Sunday school class, my college-age Sunday school class. So I'll get to tell all my college students about you and about how great you are as an author.
Well, thanks, man.
And then once they read it, they'll realize I'm lying, right?
Exactly, Well, and, you know, what's fascinating is the Easter lesson, I was able to write that.
Oh,
and so,
that's cool.
You know, without exaggeration, you know, millions of people will read and think about the gospel.
So that's awesome.
I'm excited about that.
I'm proud for you, man. Congratulations
on
that.
Thank you.
That's an honor.
And like you, we also have a Sunday night worship service as well. And so I've been preaching a series through the Minor Prophets. And last night, for example, I just covered Micah, and so I'm going to finish that in the next few weeks. And I have also, it's just amazing how our minds think, I've also considered preaching Proverbs. And I
really?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do it on Sunday nights after the Minor Prophets or if I'm going to do it later in the fall on Sunday mornings and do maybe kind of a thematic view of wisdom and pursuing wisdom. I'm not sure. But Proverbs is also on my heart to preach through. I've never done that. It's kind of a daunting task,
it is.
You know, having read through Proverbs this month, each day, I think, you know, it just, how do you organize a book like that to preach?
That's a difficult thing to do. I've tried some of that before, and it really is, you know, sometimes you have a one or two verses that go together. Sometimes it's just one verse. It's just sort of, it doesn't relate to the next one or the one before it, and that can be hard to preach. I have a good commentary on the book of Proverbs, and Ogilvy is the guy's name who wrote it.
Yeah.
And I've read through a lot of this commentary before. He really does a good job, which is really interesting, of sort of compartmentalizing, segmenting these proverbs to show the context of these and how they do relate to each other.
That's helpful.
Which is interesting because, you know, most of my life I thought, man, they don't ever relate to each other at all. But he says there's a lot of places where they do actually relate.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, it's
You know, something else that struck me in a fresh reading just this month is how Solomon is writing this counsel to his son. To his sons. Mm-hmm. And there, I mean, there's like 7 or 8 or 9, 10 different places where he said, listen, my son, to what I'm telling you. And the early burden of that is, and he says this repeatedly, and he takes big chunks of chapters about staying away from forbidden women and the wayward women and keeping your life pure and how to understand sexual temptation. And here, I mean, here's Solomon who had how many wives and concubines, and he's saying to his son, listen to me, son.
That's exactly right.
Listen to me.
I've learned a little.
Pull up a chair.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and so that was really neat. And I don't know how I'm necessarily going to process that in the aspect of preaching, but it did help me as a dad, just kind of thinking through that as well. So that's Sunday nights, and then Wednesday nights. You know, I'm like you. I kind of do a kind of a lower key teaching opportunity. My Wednesday night church life is kind of organized in such a way that the choir, which is a large ministry in our church, they meet simultaneously with adult Bible study and prayer. So I lose a good number of people that are participating in that ministry. So it's a smaller group for me. I kind of pull up a lectern and just open a Bible. And what I've been doing since I've been at First Ripley is what's called Crash Course 66. I've taken the 66 books.
Oh,
of the
Bible. I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, so I'm on my 44, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm on my 51st message.
Are you now?
In this series, because I've done all of the Old Testament, and I did combine, you know, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings.
Yeah.
I combined Ezra and Nehemiah together in one study. And then when I got done with the Old Testament, I spent some time. I did a summary of the Old Testament. I did a lesson on the intertestamental period.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about the final week. Talked about the Gospels. I talked about the final week of Jesus' life. In, you know, as I was working through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and so now I'm in Paul's letters, and I decided to follow a chronological approach rather than a canonical approach.
Mm.
So I started with Galatians, right, the first letter he wrote, and I've been in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Romans, and now we're jumping into the other prison epistles. So yeah, it's been a really fun study. My folks have loved it, and each one is kind of a standalone. So if you just show up on Wednesday night, you're going
to
be
missed
in
anything,
a book,
yeah,
and it's going to be thematic and been really good. And you know, people have asked me. I think this is neat. People have asked me, when you finish this, will you start over and do it again? I'm contemplating that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's going to be fresh anyway,
yeah,
when you get to it. And but yeah, that's been, so man, 52 weeks, and there have been lots of Wednesday night. We have a business meeting once a month that we miss. And then, as you know, as a pastor, the burden of life oftentimes derails your plan.
Yeah.
And so I'll lay something aside and focus on something else, but that's my plan. I still got many, many weeks left in this, so it'll probably carry me through the lion's share of 2018.
Hmm.
And then I don't know.
Since we're talking about this, and I don't know that we've talked about this in a previous podcast, maybe we have, but it'd be a great topic to think about. But we, matter of fact, we were having a conversation about this with somebody just a few minutes ago on the phone. We talk about planning our preaching. And we've mentioned a lot of things that we've already planned to do for weeks and months ahead of time,
right,
which is one of the things that I do try to do. I try to plan my preaching. I didn't early in my ministry,
mm-hmm,
and I probably suffered for it. But now I do plan my preaching a lot more, mm-hmm, and I've got ideas of some series of sermons that I'm going to preach on into probably the spring and summer, and ideas for the fall, those kind of things. How far ahead do you plan your preaching, and how down to what detail? I know some preachers who 6 months down the road, they already know the title to, mm-hmm, these sermons and the passage they're going to preach
incredible.
From, and they already have an outline maybe sketched out,
yeah,
6 months down the road. Now, I don't quite go that far.
Yeah.
Last year, I did a really good job in planning. I made sure I took some time, calendared some time, sat down, and I planned better last year, which I plan to do more of this year.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say I've planned that far out with that kind of detail, but what about you? How do you plan, or how far out do you plan? Is that a good practice? Or some people are really, really consider it not fly by the seat of your pants. I don't sort of mean it that way, but just sort of be spirit-led every week. You know,
right,
every week is a new thing, and I'm not planning that far ahead. I'm just going to let the Spirit lead me this week.
Yeah,
I'm not knocking that. Which do you prefer, and how do you go about it?
You know, and guys are different in the approach, and I know you and I are different in some regard. For me, there's a great security and a peace of mind in planning and having a plan of preaching. So even if it's just I'm gonna talk about the doctrine of the church. And then I know that we're going to jump into the book of James, and we're going to do that. Even a plan as broad as that, for mm-hmm. me, is a helpful thing.
Yeah.
Now, so I kind of have a mixture of the two things you were talking about. I have a big picture plan. I know down the road I'm going to preach Proverbs, but I haven't sat down and structured. Mm-hmm. You know, I know I'm going to do 26 messages in Proverbs, nothing like that.
Right.
And even with the doctrine of the church that I've done, I had those big buckets like government, nature, ministry. But it's turned out I've preached more than I expected.
I was about to ask you,
in that,
did you intend to preach this many messages?
I didn't. No, I didn't. In fact, for example, when I got to, I wanted to talk about regenerate church membership, you know, congregationalism, which is a big Baptist distinctive And I think it's a New Testament reality. But when I got into the study of it in the week that I was preaching, I realized I needed to break this into two different sermons. Mm. And it wasn't part of my plan, but I did it. Mm. And so I went to my music minister and I said, look, I know I've put this before you, but I'm going to shift this a week, going to do another thing this way. And so part of the planning of preaching for me is accountability, but also preparation. But it's also to serve the other ministers on my staff mm-hmm. that have, you know, communicating out to their areas of ministry what we're talking about, mm-hmm. especially the worship pastor who's preparing week to week.
Right.
So most of the bulk of each sermon for me is in the week that I'm preaching it. Mm-hmm. Reading, praying, scripture, yeah. exegesis, everything. It's usually, for me, the crunch time is, and some guys, man, maybe this is what you're talking about. For me, the crunch time is more helpful for me to get in and
get
put it together.
Yeah, I think that's, I would say that probably is the same way for me, mm-hmm. For the most part. Usually during the week, and I don't mean to go into all this, but usually during the week, Thursdays mm-hmm. is a big study day for me. And I try to do some of that study early in the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but mainly Thursday is my big study day for the Sunday morning sermon. So my planning is sort of, you know, here and there. Sometimes I'm further out in my planning than I am
right.
other weeks. Just depends on what things have come up and yeah. what other things that I've got to tend to, and that's okay. I mean, you sort of do that.
And how life flows, you know, for example,
exactly.
if you're able to pick up a book like Ogilvy and you had time to read and you read it, you're already steps ahead.
Right.
And then there are some seasons, as you know, as a pastor that, man, it just seems like I've got three funerals in a week or yeah. a funeral every week for a month. And it's just, that really does change the dynamic of preaching and what that looks like. So you were going on to say.
No, it's fine. But those kind of things sort of give you a little bit of freedom. In my preaching, say this past Sunday morning, I'm pretty planned out. And I'll calendar for, you know, 3 months as to what, because I look at the calendar too as to what holidays are coming and
right, right.
what I need to sort of make sure I preach around or yeah. what I want to emphasize or what I don't. So anyway, I try to develop a calendar that way. But like this past Sunday, I had a sermon prepared and I got not quite halfway through it. And I knew I wasn't going to finish that sermon.
Yeah.
And I just told my folks, I was close to the end. It was 11:30 by that time. And I just said, you know what? I'm not going to finish this sermon. I'm not going to finish it. And then I shut it off and gave an invitation where I thought was appropriate. And it worked really well. And so next week, I already have that sermon prepared already,
that's
basically
awesome.
For the next time I stand to preach. And so that's going to throw my calendar off, but that's okay. That's something I'm not worried about, and I'm willing to plan, yeah. but I'm also at the same time willing to let the Spirit lead as to how that's going to work out, you know, so I'm okay with that.
You know, I'd be interested to know what our congregations think about preaching and how they, in other words, to me, I think if I'm a member of First Baptist Ripley, that it would be a helpful thing to know. You know, I'm talking to my coworkers. My pastor's preaching through a doctrine of the church right now, and he just struck on when he preached on deacons. It gave me a greater appreciation for deacons. And next week, I know what he's talking about. I think I would like that as a lay person. You know, and I know what he's getting ready to jump into evangelism. I'm really excited about because I want to sharpen my own evangelistic whatever. That it seems to me that as a church member, that it might be encouraging to know that my pastor has a vision for preaching that is going to include doctrine, it's going to include expository preaching through a mm-hmm. book, it's going to practical stuff, that there's always going to be something coming that's yeah. going to help me grow as a yeah. disciple.
I'd say that I would feel the same way, but at the same time I would think probably most of, I don't, maybe unfair.
When's he gonna get
a
done
lot
with
of
it?
My church members are just like, I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to show up on Sunday no matter what, and yeah. I'm ready for whatever he's got. So yeah, I don't really care, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
but for me, that it would be helpful, but I don't, yeah. I'm a preacher too. So I don't know that it would be helpful for a lot of people, but,
yeah.
But I like it. I think it's, at least it helps me. It gives me a great deal of freedom to plan.
Yeah. And I think it's important, you know, and what we're trying to say in this episode is this is not a prescriptive kind of thing for pastors.
No.
You have to find your own personal inclination toward preparation. And also, you didn't say it this way, but I heard it this way, that each of our churches have a rhythm And figuring out how to preach in the sweet spot of that rhythm is very important. And I've learned that about my congregation, and it's great. And I don't bristle against it. We have a rhythm as a congregation, and I love it. And I'm going to maximize on that. And so I think that's good. So we can do that. Now let's shift gears on with a little bit of remaining time, if we can, Matt, and talk about professional development in ministry. I think we don't always think of it that way. You and I both went to seminary for a master's degree and a doctorate, got lots of education, and I'd do it again.
Right.
I would. But I have found that now that I've been out of seminary for a long time, that I still have a desire to read and to learn, and I have a growing desire to be in environments, whether they be conferences or smaller kind of intensive studies, that sharpen me as a pastor, as a theologian, as just a Christian man in many ways. And so let's spend a little bit of time, if we can, just talking about maybe some of those opportunities that pastors that listen to our podcast might be encouraged to attend. You're getting ready to go to one. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I am. As a matter of fact, let me mention something else too. This is not necessarily a pastor's conference, but one of the things I'm doing tomorrow, and I'm taking four volunteers from my church on our security team to a security conference.
Oh, good. Yeah,
and we're dealing with security issues in our church right now, security program and all that. And so I'm speaking from experience right now as a pastor in the middle of all that. I would encourage pastors right now, if you haven't thought through that, if you haven't thought through the security issues right now, spend some time to think through it.
Yes.
Not everybody's going to do it the same way. Not everybody's going to be as intensive, but your church will gain great confidence knowing that you have taken some steps to keep the church safe, the people in the church safe when you're gathered there.
That's right.
And that will help them. And so that's one thing that I'm going to do tomorrow, spend all day with four of my leaders in the church dealing with security issues. But I am leaving on Wednesday afternoon of this week, headed with my wife to Jacksonville, Florida, where we're going to go to the First Baptist Church Jacksonville Pastors Conference. And this has been going on now for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. I guess now decades, I guess. It started with Jerry Vines when he was the pastor there. Mac Brunson is now the pastor at First Baptist Jacksonville, and he's continued the tradition of the Pastors Conference. My wife and I started going a few years ago, and we loved it.
Yeah.
And we committed after that first or second time that we went, we're going to do this every year. We need this. It's a good refreshing time. There's, you know, pastors, there's preaching all day long. There's worship, there's seminars, there's all kinds of stuff. There's stuff for pastors' wives. And we just said, you know, it's so refreshing to us. We came back filled up. I'd been fed. And that's one thing about a preacher that's always feeding. He needs to be fed
too. That's right.
And so it was a great time for us, and we just said we're going to do that every year. Well, things got in the way, and we just haven't done it every year, but we just decided we're going to go back this January. It's always in January. So we're going to go, and there's a lineup of preachers, a lot of great preachers, and I won't mention them all, but as a matter of fact, I said Mac Brunson is the pastor now, but just recently, this last, in the fall of 2017, I believe, now Heath Lambert has come on as the co-pastor.
Yeah.
As the co-senior pastor, but I think that's the grooming him to take over for Mac once he retires. Mm-hmm. But Heath Lambert was at Southern Seminary
in counseling,
yeah. And he did a seminar 2 years ago when I was there, and I loved it. He spoke several times when I was there. He did a fantastic job, so I'm really excited about Heath Lambert being there at First Baptist Jacksonville and some of the things that he's going to do. But H.B. Charles will be there. Junior Hill will be there. Mm-hmm. One of the great sermons that I heard a few years ago was by Junior Hill. Junior Hill is an older evangelist, if you haven't heard of him or haven't heard him preach.
Mm-hmm.
He's still going. It's amazing to watch him and listen to him preach, but preaches some fantastic. Ravi Zacharias will be there. Dr. Moeller will be there. Mm-hmm. He's always there every year. Eric Geiger, James McDonald, Paige Patterson will be there, and I think it's Paige Patterson's wife, Dorothy, who will be leading the pastor's wife's luncheon thing that they'll do. Jason Allen is going to be there this year. As a matter of fact, Midwestern is doing the pre-conference this year on Thursday morning, and so there's going to be some things going on there that they're going to do before the conference actually starts. And so I'm excited about that. Vody Bauckham will be there. Vody is actually down the road from us today, right now, preaching at Blue Mountain College.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll be there tonight preaching. But anyway, he's going to be headed to Jacksonville in a day or so, and we'll see him down there too. Jared Wilson. There's a lot of other people. Jerry Vines is always there. So anyway,
that's a great lineup, man.
It is a great lineup. Wow. There's many that I haven't mentioned, but there's a lot of along with those. Those are the main speakers, but along with those, there's seminars and great worship times, and then too, you know, Nikki and I'll take a day or two and just try to go see some of Jacksonville. We'll go to the beach, drive an hour, go to the beach, and as it's never really, really warm in January, so we just stand there and look at the water. We don't really get in it, but it's too cold. But anyway, a lot of fun, and find a new place to eat when you're there, something like that. But we'll have a big time. But the Pastors Conference is a great opportunity to be refreshed if you're looking for those kind of opportunities.
I think that's awesome.
Anyway, what about – and I got another one I'll mention in a minute. What about you? You got something else?
Yeah, if we're kind of cranking down through the year, you know, right in our backyard is Memphis, Tennessee. And, you know, this year is the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. in Memphis. And the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission is partnering with others to produce a conference called MLK 50, Gospel Reflections from the Mountaintop. And I'm interested in that, man. And so I'm going to go. It's in April 3rd and 4th in Memphis. Downtown, and you know, they got a huge lineup of speakers, and obviously the core emphasis of it is racial reconciliation and where we are as a church and how the church can grow in this and help in this. And honestly, man, I just want to listen and learn, to be honest with you, and go and you know, I've always had some kind of divided thoughts on Martin Luther King. I think many of the things he's written have been phenomenal and helpful. And, you know, there's some skeletons in the closet that aren't so helpful. And they're going to address all that stuff at this conference. And I think it's just timely, you know, pastoring in North Mississippi, where even in the church, it is still deeply segregated.
Yeah,
I just want to prayerfully think through some of these things and put myself in a position to learn.
That's a good idea.
So MLK 50 in Memphis, April 3rd and 4th. And then the week after that, I don't know that I'm necessarily going to this, but I have been to it before, and it's been such a great, refreshing time of spiritual growth. And that's Together for the Gospel in Louisville, Kentucky, April the 11th through the 13th. And, you know, they always have the same lineup of speakers.
Right.
They rarely do they add to it. And so you know what you're going to get when you go. And the worship is great. Bob Coughlin sitting at a piano, 10,000 men singing. It's just tremendous. Lots of good giveaways of books, fellowship with guys. Of course, I went to seminary in Louisville, so a lot of friends up there still, and it's a great time of fellowship and thoughtful, deep preaching. And so it's good. It's a big event. It's a huge event. And for an introvert, it's a little overwhelming, if I'm being honest. But I'm still kind of kicking around the idea of doing that. And as a pastor, I've thought about taking my staff with me because I think they'd benefit from some of the environment, preaching and breakouts and stuff. So I don't know. We haven't nailed that down yet, but it is in the back of my mind.
Good. Well, let me mention one more. The Pastors Conference at the Southern Baptist Convention will be in Dallas, Texas this year. And that's June, I think the 12th and the 13th is the convention. So that would be the 11th will be the Pastors Conference. The Pastors Conference is the Monday before the convention starts, always on Tuesday and Wednesday, which is always a great opportunity. It's the same type thing. You get a great lineup of preachers who will be coming from different parts of the country. And we'll be preaching, and it's very refreshing. There's not a lot of the extra stuff maybe that goes with it at the pastor's conference, but it's usually a good time. Pastors get there, you know, a day early, and I say it's not actually part of the convention, but it's the conference before.
Yeah.
But anyway, a lot of people go and just include it in their convention is to make that part of the trip and go early. It's been a while since I've been to the Pastors Conference. I'd like to go this year. We're planning on going back to the Southern Baptist Convention this year. We didn't get the chance to go last year, and so we're going to go. We don't always go, but we're going to try to go. It's fairly close. Dallas is not that far away, and it'd be easier for us to get to this time. So we're gonna try to do that. My wife and I and spend a little bit of time there. And anyway, that's coming up in June the 11th, which will be great. And right now, you can look online, but they don't have. I just looked a minute ago, and there's not a lineup of preachers for the pastors' conference yet at the convention. There is the 2018 SBC annual meeting website is up, but the pastors' conference is not yet. So we don't know the lineup of preachers yet. Although H.B. Charles is the president of the conference this year. So we assume he's going to be one of the headliner preachers, but we don't know who else is going to be preaching just yet.
It's historic. I mean, he's the first African-American pastor to be the president of the SBC Pastors Conference, so a historic moment for sure.
And a fantastic preacher.
Oh, my gosh, man. He is.
I love to hear him preach.
Top-notch. And he's going to here's what I believe HB will do. He will bring a lineup of preachers that is unexpected, but it's going to rock your socks.
I can't wait to see.
I hope to go too.
Yeah, I
hope to do that. I think that's going to be good. I can't wait to hear what he's got lined up. Now speaking of HB Charles, last year I went to the expository preaching conference at his church, Shiloh Metropolitan Baptist Church in Jacksonville, called Cutting It Straight. Expository Preaching Conference, and man, I loved it. I absolutely loved it, and I plan on going back this year. It's in September 18th through the 20th in Jacksonville at the Shiloh Church. And you know, one of the things I liked about this conference, well, there are many things I liked about this conference, is, you know, it wasn't the normal kind of routine of people that I normally hear preaching at conferences. It was encouraging, and I will say it was predominantly an African American preaching conference. Now, it's expository preaching in the African American tradition. I think that's important to keep in mind. And the men that he exposed me to in preaching just absolutely blessed me, taught me, encouraged me, and I really enjoyed the fellowship around the table and in the church worship service. It was just tremendous. Breakouts were really, really good. I did two breakouts on illustrating a sermon, expository sermon, which I think is a weakness of mine. And I learned quite a bit.
And in the African-American tradition, they do really well illustrating a lot of their sermons. So that would be cool.
So I plan on going back to that and made some friendships while I was there last year that have remained, and we've kept in touch. And so that will be a repeat for me. And it's just different than most of what I'll say it this way, white Southern Baptist pastors normally gravitate to, like the Desiring God Conference or T4G or something like that. This was so refreshing for me.
That's cool.
Something to pray about and think about.
That's cool.
What about an honorable mention?
Well, you and I both went to one last year together, which is called the Deep South Pastors Retreat or Pastors Conference. I wanted you to mention something about that because they're doing it again this year, and you're friends with the one who leads all this and directs, Greg Belzer. And so I wanted you to take a minute and share a little bit of the information that we have right now, which is not a whole lot, but share a little bit about the conference last year. Last year was the first time I had gone.
Yeah.
And they'd only done it 2 years, and you had gone to the first one year before that. And so I really benefited from it. It was really great. The fellowship with brothers, and that was a lot of fun, but the study was really in-depth. Yeah. Sort of put you back in the seminary seat for a little while, and I really miss that. I do, and you were talking about that a while ago. I miss being in school. I miss those intensive learning environments, and I just wish I had more of that. I really miss the seminary setting, but that sort of put us back into it for a little while. It's pretty intense for a couple of days. Tell us a little bit about that, and those. A lot of people may not know about this one.
That's right. Dr. Belzer, you know, his intention and vision kind of behind this some time ago was to bring a group of pastors, church leaders, really pastors together around the table to study up close and personal with a scholar who's written a commentary on a particular book of the Bible. So the first year, he brought Tom Schreiner, who had written a new commentary on the book of Hebrews, and we walked verse by verse through the book of Hebrews with Dr. Schreiner and was able to ask questions and, you know, get the fruit of his commentary, but also get the flavor of the book and also practical helps for preaching through the book of Hebrews, which is another one of the outcomes that Dr. Belzer wanted to see happen. So this year we studied the book of Acts with Eckhard Schnabel. Man, was that a deep dive through the book of Acts.
It was a lot of fun.
Unbelievable.
And we got good resources from that too.
Huge, you know.
A lot of notes.
And good resources. But you know, one of the outcomes of this study is you get to be with the scholar. You get to be immersed in the scripture. And you know, you're thinking preaching down the road maybe, but one of the payoffs is you're around the table with brothers that are preaching, that are in ministries, sometimes in your state. It's a Deep South Pastors Conference because we have brothers from Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, and other states that participate in this. But the fellowship with each other is really, I mean, it's so refreshing. You know, and usually this event takes place around the start of the school year, so tentatively, we're looking at July 30th through August the 2nd. So it's a Monday through a Thursday. And we waffle between the location of in Alabama at Shaco Springs Conference Center or in Jackson, Mississippi at the, I think it was Twin Lakes Conference Center.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier, too, you know, you go to T4G or something, there's 10,000 men.
Right.
You may not fit as well there or whatever.
Yeah.
But at Deep South Pastors Conference, we had 30.
Yeah, 30.
Right?
Yeah.
30 sitting around the table, which is, again, sort of like that seminary environment, if you like that. You know, a lot of guys love that, and you love the – and, too, you get this big, gigantic, thick commentary written by the guy who's actually talking.
Yeah.
So you get a chance to ask him the questions, and he gets a chance to sort of walk through it. And that to me, was a big part of it. You can read a commentary, but to read a commentary – and the guy who wrote it is standing there and can answer your questions, and you've got some back and forth with the guy, and you got some, and even eating lunch with the guy, eating dinner with the guy, he's sitting at your table, and
that's right.
So it's a really neat experience that I really, really enjoy.
You know, and there's something that the guys need to think about this, you know, when you're processing, do I invest my time and money in an event like this? I did not know Eckhart Schnabel. I wasn't familiar with his writings, and so that didn't really matter to me. You know, I wanted to meet him. I wanted to get the fruit of his work in the book of Acts. And, man, I've grown from it immensely. I know Dr. Schreiner well. I consider him a friend. Love to spend time with him. Enjoy him as a professor. So both of those experiences for me were rich. What I'm trying to say is Dr. Bells are still nailing down who's going to come this year. For me, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if somebody I know,
anyway.
Somebody I don't know.
Right.
I'm going to be there because, A, I want to be immersed in the Word. B, I want to interact with a scholar who's done deep study in this. And C, I want to spend time around the table with brothers that are in the trenches, and we need to encourage one another, fellowship. And this is one of those opportunities that I have really come to love and to grow as a pastor, but just as a minister in the state. And I see a lot of guys I know, some guys I don't know. And you get to make new friendships and partnerships.
So what about this? Is there a way you can put a link on Facebook to this kind of thing or get some information to guys who may say, hey, I've never heard of that before, but I might like to have the information?
I will work toward that with Dr. Belzer to see what he knows. He's doing some work on it this week, so we should have some more intel on that within the next few days.
So check our Facebook page, and once we get information, we'll try to put information out there.
But let's just say this: if this piques your interest as a pastor that listens to us in this program, and you say, "Hey, I'm kind of I might like to do that," let us know. Shoot us a message on Facebook, or text us, or send an email. However you communicate with us, and say, "Keep me in mind when you get more information. I want to know about that."
That's a good idea. Good idea. Leah, let us know. It's a really good conference, and it's right now at least it's a smaller conference, which I think is very, very helpful.
And it, you know, early take possibly, Dr. Belzer's looking at Andreas Kostenberger maybe for the Book of John, or Ken Matthews for the Book of Genesis, something like that. That's kind of what you can look forward to.
Yeah, something
like
that.
This. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Well, we've got to wrap up the podcast, man. It's been good just sort of get back in the groove of things. And I don't know what next week looks like. I'll be back Monday evening after the pastor's conference, and so we'll try to grab a podcast next week if we can do that. We'll get together and throw another one out there. If at all possible, we'll make that happen. We want to be committed as much as we can to Gospel Rain podcast, because we know it's helpful to many of you.
But it, like I say, maybe a couple weeks, maybe February will be kind of a fresh launch, and we'll get more consistency there.
Yeah, and we'll try to let people know on Facebook too, when things are coming out. But let's end with this. Sometimes we end with a segment called Headlines. So let me give you an opportunity. Mike, you read a headline recently, and I think you put something out there on social media, a little bit of a response to the article. Tell us a little bit about this headline.
Yeah, my wife actually tipped me off to this this article. It was in USA Today, and usually when I travel and hotels offer USA Today, I read it, and I'm interested in it. I don't follow them normally, and most of the time, I don't read the money section. But this was an article in the money section by a guy named James Royal, who writes for nerdwallet.com. And the title was, "Your Best Financial Move is Also Best for the Environment." Now, I mean, having lived in a big city, sustainability and all kind of stuff matters to me. Recycling is important, all of that. Coming into a rural small town, most of that stuff is out the window.
Right.
There's no recycling.
You don't think about that
necessarily.
Much.
But I do care about the environment. I do care about good economics. And so this was a neat piece. But what struck me about this piece in the timing of it with the Sanctity of Human Life, the March for Life in D.C., mm-hmm. all that stuff was, his primary point was your best financial move and the best move for the environment is to not have children. Mm. And I just thought, okay, I guess I can understand that. But the more I read about this, he's like, look, you're producing all these, you know, carbon, you know, what you're doing is you're increasing your carbon footprint. You really want to reduce that. Mm-hmm. The best way to reduce that is not have kids. And, you know, your retirement's the most important thing. So delay, delay, delay. Don't even have kids. But if you do have kids, just wait and build your stuff. And it just really struck a chord in my heart that economics and the environment are driving whether or not people are going to produce children and have a family was an affront in many ways to the kind of the cultural mandate of Genesis and the culture of life. And I just think, you know, even USA Today reaffirms once again that our culture, man, it's just not pro-family. It's not pro-life. And every time they're going to take a pot shot at it, they're going to do it, even in the money section of USA Today.
Wow, that's interesting. So the guy in the article, I guess, in your reading, is that what he's suggesting and arguing, is that people do that, or is he saying just matter of fact that it would help the environment if we stopped having kids?
Yeah, he appealed to some research out of Canada, you know, some environmental research about humans. And, you know, to me, it just strikes me, you know, if you have a leftist view of humanity, mm-hmm. It comes out in such a way that humans are a problem to the earth.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, we're lords of the earth, we have dominion, stewardship of the earth. I believe in stewardship. I think we need to be very careful in talking through those issues. But at the same time, you know, humans aren't the problem.
Right.
We're made in the image of God, and we have a responsibility for those things. So he's not saying stop having kids. What he is saying is it's a soft appeal to say, you know, this is probably going to be the best for you if you don't. And I disagree with that on the one hand. On the other hand, I think I do understand what the point he's trying to make. But everybody has a worldview and everybody has a theological position.
That's
and
right.
His is coming out.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
Image of the problem.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So just pump the brakes and do for yourself and don't worry about
it. Makes sense. Makes sense.
About kids, yeah.
Interesting. That's interesting. Well, let me wrap up the podcast. Thank you for listening to the Gospel Rain podcast. We hope that you'll continue to check us out this year and share us with some other folks, share us with your friends on social media, that kind of thing. And we hope that we continue to gain listeners, but mainly we just want to help people. We want to help disciple in some small way. And we hope this helps you do that. So anyway, we'll check back in with you in maybe a week or two with Gospel Rain, and hopefully you'll be one of our faithful listeners this year in 2018.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel Rain podcast. We hope you've been encouraged today, and we pray the gospel will reign in your life this week. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or check out our website at gospelrain.com.